this morning.
And maybe next 2 weeks, because really, how many going through adversity? Anybody? Okay. Well, maybe that I'm not on track with what the Lord's saying. What is adversity? What does adversity mean? Anybody?
Challenges, hard times, difficulties.
Okay.
Adverse means, I guess, going against you or going against the grain or something.
Mm-hmm. 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 Okay.
The wrong way, or what we think is the wrong way.
All right. What else? Bless you. I looked up some definitions, and there's two of them. As a noun, it's a state of misfortune or affliction. And the second one was a stroke of ill fortune, a calamitous event. And the first one to give an example was like a debt-ridden farmer struggling with adversity, like a life hardship. Anybody know what that means? And the second one there of a state of ill fortune is like they put like a period marked by adversity. It's like a period of time in your life of adversity. And yeah, a few of the words y'all hit right on. One was hard times. Anybody go through some hard times? Distress, affliction, hardship. And Webster said opposition. And can you think of something right now in your life that you're probably going through in adversity? Anybody? With those definitions. Come on, y'all got to go with me today now. Come on. Here's some.
Physical affliction.
Okay, yes. Physical affliction. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. What else?
Living paycheck,
Yeah, come on.
Very hard.
Depression.
Depression. Addiction.
Addiction. Yeah.
Flesh
is even your adversary.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is your adversary.
Who adversary? Who is called the adversary?
Mm. How about someone else's situation? Can you think of someone else's situation? Who can watch the news for very long? It really is depressing, isn't it? You know, you want to keep up with things that's going on in the world today as we know it. And even in our county and the surrounding counties, but man, it's just so hard for me to watch 15, 20 minutes of it. Am I the only one? Yeah. I mean, every day there's something, you know, a little third grader getting shot with a pistol just, 2 days ago because one brought it in the book bag and it went off, you know, and it's just on and on and on of tragedies, you know, in our, here, we think we don't have it in our counties, do we? We don't have it, but yet we're starting to hear more and more and more. Etowah. Wasn't it Etowah? Yeah.
There's a little kid over here
that
got killed on the dirt bike that played baseball with my grandson.
I hadn't heard that one. So other people, think about it in more of a wider spectrum. What we've just dealt with this last year in itself of 2017, we're coming to the end. Think of a few things like, man.
You mean like hurricanes?
Absolutely. Like think about that.
Las Vegas shooting, all the
mountains. Yeah. Las Vegas shooting, yeah.
The church one. Yeah.
The church.
Yeah, I mean, earthquake after earthquake and all these places. So adverse situations, and so I want to talk about these this week and maybe next week too, but a couple of quotes. This one here, every adversity, every failure, and every heartache carries with it the seed, we've been talking about seeds a lot, right?
That's right.
Of an equivalent or a greater benefit? What do you think he means by that? Every adversity, every failure, and every heartache carries with it the seed of an equivalent or a greater benefit.
Strengthens your faith.
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
You can learn something from it.
Ah, okay. Also, Napoleon Hill said that. Yes.
It's an opportunity for God to do something in that situation. So however big the problem is, God's solution has to be equally either to it or bigger.
Yes. So the mindset that I want to talk to you about today is that very thing. How do we grow through adversities? How do we mature? How do we keep going through these things? And Proverbs 17:17 said, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know you're born for adversity?
Yeah.
Woo! I don't know. You don't really like hearing that one, though, do you? But it's, we're not made in the in on the mountaintop, guys.
Everything is easy. You don't have anything.
That's right, Trella. That's right. 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 And that's why it says it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of the needle than it is
to be
saved. And what is that eye of the needle? We think about a needle, right?
Well, it was an opening next to a gate where a camel had to get on its knees and crawl through the opening.
In Jerusalem, yes, they call it
the gate,
and it's a tiny gate, and even a man would have to get down like this and go through.
Right.
It's where they pull things in and out through trade and different things. So, in a part of the wall, but you can still look at it as like threading the needle, though.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing. So, how is it that we can get the mindset, we can learn how to grow through adversity? So we're going to be talking over in 2 Corinthians 4 today. We're going to talk about a man who went through adversity. And next week we'll be talking about another man who went through adversity.
Is it 2 Corinthians 4?
Yes. Okay. While you're turning over there, I want to read one of these from next week. Let's use this one. By the age of 10, both his parents had died. He was raised reluctantly by an older brother who resented another mouth to feed. His wife died after 13 years of marriage. Of 20 children, big family, from two marriages, 10 of them passed away while still infants. One died in his 20s, and one was mentally deranged. Eventually, this outstanding musician went blind and was paralyzed with a stroke. Did this man forsake faith in God? Who was he? Anybody? No? You ever heard of Johann Sebastian Bach? He was one of the greatest composers in music ever known. You hear Bach. But he was a God-fearing man. He triumphed through adversity and become what God had created him to be in this and his gifts, his talents and all that. So we'll read a few more next week, but growing in adversity, 2 Corinthians 4. Now I'm going to read, I found this morning laying over there. I felt like Touch Point Bible and couldn't find mine because it was over here. So I'm going to read it out of it and then go back to the main verse I want to go to in the Near American Standard. But it's talking about Paul here, okay? And so in 4:1 it says, and so since God in his mercy has given us this wonderful ministry, we never give up. We reject all shameful and underhanded methods. We do not try to trick anyone, and we do not distort the Word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know that. Now let me stop there a minute. Today, as we're studying this Word here, we can relate this chapter to where we live life, okay? All of us, to where we live life. And first thing, look at there, it talks about ministry. Do you know that everyone in this room has a ministry? You do. You might not know exactly what it is yet. Some of you do. Some of you, God's already given a little bit of the vision of it. But we all have a ministry. And ministry can actually be disheartening. Let me just tell you right off the bat as being a pastor. Ministry's not always easy. And it's one of the things that is challenging, okay? You know why most people do not fulfill their calling? They cannot grow in the adversity. It becomes so hard that they just say, well, I don't want no part of this. Not only are they battling the flesh, they're battling even church folk. They're battling all the pressures of the world around them. They're battling all the things that the elements of everything possible, okay? And so the enemy always wants to try to keep you from understanding you have a ministry. And everyone in this room does. God had, before the foundation of the world, had this ministry for you.
Come on.
That's why we call this place Ministry House. We want you to find your ministry. We want you to walk in your calling. We want you to understand God has a plan and He has a purpose. Not mine, not Penny's. We don't try to place people anywhere. Lord, a lot of times we'd love to because we need some children's ministers, right? We need some teen ministry. We need a lot of things here. But until God raises up the right people, the right ones who are called to do it, guess what we're doing? If we do that, we're accountable for it. Then what are we doing? We're setting you up for failure.
That's right.
Come on.
Not only you, but all the people that will come under you who will be here, who will be you'll be accountable for. Oh, you didn't want to hear that one, did you? Because it says we as ministers, when people come in, you're accountable for their souls. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Like, whoa, wait a minute now, that's too much. They become your disciples. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the whole key, what Jesus told His disciples, to go and what?
Make more
disciples. This thing cannot grow. It cannot grow. Not just this ministry, the kingdom, like we've been talking about every week for the past 4 or 5 weeks. The kingdom can't grow until you realize you have a plan and purpose, a ministry, okay? And so it's not always easy to keep on keeping on. It's easier to quit sometimes also.
Amen.
When it starts coming around and God begins to say, okay, I'm moving you a little bit further. You know, it says we go from glory to glory to glory, right? And to do that, oh, you've got to continue in this thing. That's what Paul did. He continued it like he called it like a race. You got to be in it
to win it,
right? And you've got to be able to accept the adversities of life as you go down this road also. It's easier to quit sometimes and just say, well, you know, and what the devil steps in and says is it's easy to start pointing fingers here and there, and well, this just didn't go in exactly the way I wanted it to. Come on, that's the way it goes, is it not? And he begins to put the picture in your head, whisper the lies in your ear. Well, I don't know, you know, this just isn't exactly what I thought. Well, the reason it's just not exactly what you thought is because you're probably trying to do it in your own abilities.
Or your way.
And God will let you do that.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in a minute. Well, let me ask you this question while I'm there. Do you think... I wrote this on the back page. This is my scribble. Did God create adversity?
No.
No?
In the fall...
Made you think, didn't it?
Because of the curse
within the fall, yeah.
Yeah, instead of the ground giving for us and providing for us.
But did God create that?
No.
Ah. But it makes you think, doesn't it? We're going to talk about that next week, too. God's not the one to blame for your adversity.
Come on.
That's good.
People blame God for everything.
Yes.
And it's not God who created the adversity.
Nope.
Who was it?
We put it on ourselves.
Yes, we have created the adversity.
That's good.
In our life.
Yeah.
Yep.
We make mistakes. We fail. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So, it's something to think about. So, Paul here believed, he believed full effect required, he required openness, no secret, shameful ways, no manipulation, only relationship. No deception, no distortion, rather a plain setting forth of truth. Look back on, in my translation of the one I read all the time, it says, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So what does setting forth the truth mean? It means you what? You have to face the truth, right? You've got to realize that this one thing, God may have allowed this thing in your life for a reason.
Come on.
All right? Yeah. And so that's what Paul's going to talk about on down through here also. And so as we go on, we see the world some can't see, and some don't want to see the light of the gospel. If you see there, it goes on down and talks about the light. Not everyone wants to see the light. How many, when you walked in the darkness before Christ, BC days, did you want to see the light?
No.
How many moved at night like a cat throughout your life? Literally, I did. Slept in the day, what? Moved at night. Why is that? Because the light transcends the truth. It transcends the things that are, it exposes the darkness.
Yes.
Does it not? Come on. So when the light begins to transfuse the darkness to light, like in creation, God did this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we needed the light. There was darkness, it said over it. So he created light. It was form. It was without void. Correct? Mm-hmm. And so God knew that we needed light. So the light in this situation, Paul's talking about it. And the light, also some can't see the light of the gospel. Anybody remember one of our parables? What was the gospel? Anybody say it? The what?
The light of the world.
The light of the world. And one of the things in one of the parables, though, what was one of them?
The good news.
The good news? Who said it? The gospel. Yeah, what was it? The seeds, right?
Yeah, on the good ground.
And the soil. All these things that we preached about. And so that become the light. And so some don't want to see the glory of Christ, neither. The image of God. But God's image is always on us also, and we're being transformed, or we're supposed to be transformed into His image, transformed into the light. Some cannot see the glory of Christ because our ministry is being unfulfilled. We'll sit back on our laurels and we will wait and wait and wait. Now listen, there is a time and a season that you have to sit and wait on the Lord.
That's right.
But there is a time and season where you've got to get up and you've got to get moving. It says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you have to step out in that faith and say, and it's okay if you missed it a little bit, okay? You might start here in children's ministry and say, whew, after so long I give it all I got, but you know what? God has shown me that is not my forte or whatever it is. You might begin, and then you might have stepped out in faith and said, oh my gosh, I'm so blessed to tell them little kids about Jesus. And on and on. But what happens is, excuse me, you've got a certain amount of people that get it. The light comes. And then, but they're overwhelmed because they're the only ones doing.
That's right. Yep.
They're the only ones doing. We're going to talk in James next week about doing. So how do we start doing when we're in all these adverse situations?
You've got to grab a hold of God and not turn Him loose.
Amen.
Good. Our ministry is not to preach to ourselves. It's to preach Jesus Christ is Lord. We're the servants. Paul called it bond servants. We're like slaves. That's a type slave who is willing to what? Serve his master.
Right.
You're not in chains. You're not where you're going to get whipped to do this. You're not going. You want to serve. You have a servant's heart, and you're ready to serve the Lord. And sometimes that's the hardest part for people to get to ministry because they can't step out in that place and trust God. And because of the adversities in their life, they're up 1 minute, woo, yeah, you know, praising God. And then the next thing, bam, life issues. Oh, God, failed again. That's the enemy. That's the enemy. And then it's like, okay, you come on to church, and Pastor Ronnie, woo, lift you up, come on, and then you're back up there again, yeah, and then, bam. Why is it? Why do we have to go through these things? Because God makes you in the storms. He doesn't make you on the mountaintop. He makes you in the valley. Yeah. He makes you in the place where the shadow of the valley of death, you don't fear. You just run with what God has called you to do. Amen?
Yeah.
And you've got to learn to trust God that way and go through that adversity that way also. So our ministry is to preach to others, being servants. Now, Paul, let's go into... our application passage here is going to be in verse 7. Excuse me. This is where it connected to his ministry, if you look at this. The adversities we face in life may have to do with growing up so we can serve others. Let's read 7 there. But this precious treasure, look at your neighbor and say, you're a precious treasure. This light and power that now shines within us is held in perishable containers that is in our weak bodies. You hear that?
No, I don't think they heard. They were all stopped.
This light and power that now shines within us is held in perishable containers, flesh bodies, that is our weak bodies, so everyone can see, here it is, that our glorious power is from God and not our own.
Yes.
Glory to God.
It's the power. That's the treasure, guys. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the power of God that rests in you. He is the one, the strength. He is the one that will give you the power to say no to drugs. He is the one that is going to take you to a place to where you can overcome every adversity, every obstacle in your life. That is the hidden treasure. You are the vessel that He becomes and lives inside.
Yes.
You get it?
Yes.
You are the treasure, but He is the main treasure in your life. So, in this one thing, adversity we face in life may have to do with growing up. We all have to grow up. Paul talks about when we become born again, we're like what?
Babes.
Babes in Christ. What does a baby have to do to survive?
Drink milk.
Has to be fed. It has to depend on the caregiver. Who's our caregiver? Holy Ghost. That's right. Because He leads us and guides us into what?
All
truths. When you're being deceived, you're not strong in your spirit. Come on. If you're strong in the spirit and the spirit is in you strong, then what? Guess what? You're going to hear Him. Then it's on you whether you're going to be rebellious or you're going to be obedient.
Yes.
You're going to submit to God or you're going to resist. And you're going to flee the wrong way. You're going to go. It says, in James, if we resist the devil, what?
He will flee.
He has to flee in the name of Jesus. He has no power, no authority.
Yes.
And if He lives inside of you, we need to grab hold of this power, the dunamis, the axe, what the apostles, and every one of them grabbed a hold of and said, you know what, there's something more. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God. I'm not going to leave this upper room because Jesus told me to until I get filled with that power from on high. Come on. And then when they prayed, we don't know exactly how long they was in that upper room, but it was for a while. And then all of a sudden, what happened? Whew. Holy Ghost fell. Power fell. It says it was like what? Cloven tongues of fire that fell on them. I can preach on the Holy Ghost now. Come on. So we have to adversity, face it, grow up, and it's like riding a bicycle. Every time you fall down, what do you got to do? You got to get back up. What else you got to do?
Get back on it, go.
Get back on it, go. And what else you got to do? Trust what?
God.
Huh? Trust God. You ain't going to fall and bust your knee again, okay? What else?
Figure out why you fell.
Ooh, figure out why you fell. Come on, brother. What else?
Take off your training wheels.
Take off the training wheel. Okay, you got some training wheels on it. You ain't going to fall over. Well, you might. Hit the curb. Come on. You're going
to
go on over anyway. What else?
You have to practice. You have daily... You have to come before the Lord. You have to do these things every day.
That's good stuff. What do we got to learn?
Balance.
We got to learn balance. We got to learn how to go through adversity and face it in the enemy's face, in life. We got to learn balance in our walk with God. We got to trust God. We got to have faith. We got to have hope. Yes.
So, one thing is... know that your Father is always there to catch you if you fall.
Ooh. That's right. Knowing you're behind the bicycle, ready to grab it if you start falling over.
I know for me, my dad was like, I've got you, son. Just keep your
hands on the ball. Okay. I thought I had you, son. You got too far away from me.
Ooh, that'll preach.
Don't go so fast, son.
No.
Right? Then you get to that place, you're cruising along. Woo. Famous last words.
I got this.
Pedal off. And then what happens? What happens? You face a hill. You face a hill. You hadn't been there yet, have you?
No.
Ooh, from it's just been kind of. I've been, because you know what? The Father starts you on level ground. He starts you down like a baby, training wheels on level ground. And then a little bit by little bit, what? You learn how to pedal. You learn how to balance. And then all of a sudden, life throws you a curve, doesn't it? And here you are. Golly, how did I get up that? What do? You stand up on the pedals, right?
That's right.
You stand up on the pedals, and you say, and you might fall. You might tip over again, just like when you started, right?
Get tired.
You might have to turn around and go right back down and get a run at it, right?
That's right.
But what you got to do is keep on keeping on. You got to keep on keeping on. You got to stay in it. You got to stay in it. And then eventually, when you get there, when you get to the top of that hill, guess what happens? Something inside of you rises up, and you've already learned how to balance pride and what? And victory and all this other stuff, I hope, because you know, you got your whole knees are skint slap off and your elbows. So you say, thank God, I made it. But then what happens?
Get too confident.
You can get too confident, and guess what? Mm-hmm. Take heed lest you fall again, right?
Yes.
So some aspects of our Christian walk seem almost to require us to fall down in order to learn how to grow and become more like Christ. Remember now, God ain't doing this. Who is?
Me.
He's not the puppet master. Okay? And we look at him sometimes like that. Why do we do that? We're learning this, our guys. We're learning this. Okay, very good. Denial and what?
Projection.
Say it.
Projection.
What do?
Blame someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You're right at the point where God's fixing to elevate you. He's fixing to raise you up past that one obstacle. And bam! Right?
Right between the eyes.
So what happens? We begin, if we're not strong enough in God, we begin to project, and we begin to look around whose fault it is.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
Let's be honest. Come on. Ain't getting many amens now.
Yeah.
We begin to look and see the whole pattern, and all we are doing is what? Projecting it. We're looking around. When God wants us to learn from it, He wants us to own it.
Come on.
He wants us to own it and see how we handle it. And when we handle it on our knees, when we handle it in repentance, when we handle it with, God, I can't do this without you. I got to have you. I got to have more of your anointing. I got to have you, Lord. Then God says, okay, that's what I've been waiting on. That's what I've been waiting on. Dust us off. Wipes the slate clean. He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And you go to the next place, and you go to the next place. Adversity in our lives may serve that very helpful purpose. You don't look at it as something helpful, do you? Most of the time, when you're challenged and you're going through like these words we said a minute ago, is it easy? No. Being a Christian is not easy. Give the guys that book of Foxes of Martyrs. Read some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Read some of that. Read some of what they went through. I started, I'll bring it next week, that picture we got on the wall. Early Christianity, we'll talk about that in James next week. In that dispensation of time, what it meant to be a Christian. And even in third world countries, what it means to be a Christian these days.
Right.
You could die just by saying Jesus, okay?
Right.
And you can die, your whole family can be put to death because you serve Jesus. We don't live there because we're in the land of the free, right? And we have all this stuff. And the whole thing about it is God has given us this freedom, but what have we done with it? What have we done with it? So the Greek philosopher Epictetus, if I said that right, says this, It is difficulties that show what men are. It's difficulties that show what men are. 20th century pop philosopher. People are like tea bags. Real strength comes out of the what? Hot water.
Yeah.
Real strength comes out of hot water.
That's good.
Yeah.
Just like coffee, tea bags, whatever. The real strength comes out of it. And so we can't look at adversity in the same way that the world looks at it as Christians.
That's right.
We can look at it and we can build on it and say, well, yeah, maybe I need to go through this right now for a reason. That's not an easy thing. Yes. Count it all joy. I'm going to read that scripture in a minute. David Mason, I don't know if you know him, he wrote a book and he says, if you take no risks, make no mistakes, try nothing new, live in comfort and safety and assurance, have everything under control, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. You aim at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. Right?
Yeah.
Difficulties are met and overcome with the discipline power. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can say like Paul in Romans 5:3-4, he said, we rejoice in our sufferings because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. God is producing character in you, in your adversity. So maybe we can all recognize then that adversity comes, even if we see it only in hindsight. Sometimes it comes, even if it's as God's way of discipline his children sometimes, okay? Even if it's God's way of opening the blind eyes sometimes, even if it's as God's way of sometimes getting our attention, he allows it to happen, does he not, in our life? Anybody know the story of Job? Oh. Why is it everybody says, in that one?
That
hurt. It hurt.
It hurt.
Yeah, Satan had to ask permission. Hey, in fact, God brought the subject up. He said, what if
have you
my
considered
servant Job?
Have you considered my servant Job?
That's right.
He's looking for somebody who he could pounce on.
That's right.
So, but did Job get it? Right away?
No.
No.
It took him a while.
But Job's suffering wasn't also only for himself. Because not only did he learn at the end his friends were rebuked. Everyone around him thought they knew what God wanted and they knew what God, who God was and how he was. So because Job was obedient and willing to go through this,
but you know what? The whole story really shows me that God knows the intent of our heart.
Yeah.
From the first verse or two. Does he not?
Yes.
Have you considered my servant Job? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Throw me out of the bus, would you? Right? But he knows the intent of our heart.
Right.
And what we can choose to do.
Right.
Now, free will is free will, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Come on. So, I don't know. God, oh, is so big. He is so big, and we put him in this box.
That's right.
He is what? He is unlimited.
Right.
Omnipotent. He knows all. He is bigger than we can even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
He spanned the universe from his pinky to his thumb, it says in the Bible. And all the brainy scientists of the world, and if you're a scientist, don't get offended, cannot figure out how big the universe is. They can only go out so many light years and so many places that far. And God is outside of that. He's outside of the box. When we begin to learn that, yes, I'm in this adverse time in my life, but you know what? Bless God. Who, if he can be for me, what? Who can be against me? You learn these scriptures. You learn and you grow up and you mature in these adversities. And God's going to elevate you in your life, your ministry, and wherever you go, he goes with you. The Hebrew writers talks about this notion of God discipline those whom he loves. It says in 12:4-7, in your struggle against sin, he writes, you have not yet resisted to the point of what? Shedding of blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation which addressed you as son? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines him who he loves, and chastens every son whom he receives, and daughter. And it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons and daughters. That's all he's doing. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If there's no discipline in our life, what are we? Just rebellious, heathen, unruly, lost vessels. Let me wrap it up here. Paul had to suffer through some things. Listen at this. Anybody know how Paul had to suffer through some stuff? 2 Corinthians 11:2 will tell you over there some of them. And this, now I know this is just Paul had ministry for like 32 years, okay? And this is like the two-thirds maybe of his suffering in this point. You go to Acts, you read a lot more of the more sufferings in his life. But in 2 Corinthians 11:2, He said, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Why was it 39? Anybody know?
Because it was a crime.
It was a crime to give 40. So they did 39. And that was a whip like Jesus had.
Can you imagine a scar?
Three razors on them. That means what? 5 times? And then he got more beatings. Okay, so some Josephus, a bunch of them say that he was over 100 and some odd
right.
Stripes on his back. Can you imagine when he took his shirt off, how he looked? Oh my Lord.
He beat up a bunch.
Listen, he goes on, he says, in 25, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Mm-hmm. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. That was no with no boat, okay?
Right.
That was out there with the sharks. Swimming around. It was the sharks. I have been constantly on the move, he said. I have been in danger from the rivers. Why was he constantly on the move? Because they wanted to kill him,
yeah.
Right? I have been constantly on the move. I've been in dangers from rivers. What's in the rivers? Creatures. Beast, all right, in danger from bandits, in danger from, listen to this, from my fellow Jews,
yeah.
Oh boy, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, he said, and have often gone without sleep. Why do you think he was going without sleep?
No place to lay his head.
No place to lay his head. And then somebody always wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
Mm. I have known hunger, thirst, and have often gone without food. And I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. And all that, he still had a heart. He still had a heart for his calling, for people's lost, people that were lost, hurting, broken people. Guys, we got to keep the picture. We got to know that it's something bigger than all of us. We're not trying to build a big old church here. What we're trying to build is the kingdom of God. Come on.
Yes.
There's somebody needs to get this now. It's about you maturing, growing up in God, going through adversity, pressing on and trusting God, even in them times when it's hard and you want to quit, you want to give up and just throw in the towel. God says, come on, trust me. Trust me, I'll bring you through the shadow of the valley. You fear no evil because I'm with you. Come on now, I'm about ready to preach. Y'all ready? 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore I take pleasure, he said, in infirmities, in reproach, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. Now right above that, y'all know it talks about his grace and being sufficient. You know, and all that. 2 Timothy 4:6-8. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. He's poured everything he had into it. I've been poured out. Now, this is the last letter Paul wrote to Timothy, his disciple, before he was going to his death. He said, I've been poured out like a drink offering, and time of my departure is at hand. He knew he was fixing to get killed. He's in prison when he wrote this, and that's in another story. But I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid upon for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to who have had his appearing. Sometimes we have to move in faith, hope, trust. We got to move. Sometimes we have to take healthy risks to grow and become more, guys. And not because we always succeed, okay? But because of what we learn through falling down and through making mistakes.
Come on.
We've got to understand that. It should never be the time to give up, but always taking time to grow up in the things of God.
Yes.
That's where we got to be, guys. It is in God we trust. Our nation right says that in our Constitution, but do we really? Is it in God we trust? Adversity means despite what the challenge is, we trust God and is with us, and nothing for and against us is going to prosper because God is with us. Amen? There's always going to be adversity in this life, and that is for sure, but it's up to us to choose how to grow up in them. That's our part. Growth in the Lord is optional. Did you get that one? Adversities just, it's going to happen. You can't change it. But growth in the Lord is on you. That's where you have to understand. You're going to press on, like Paul said, through this thing, this adversity. Like any good father, God wants to see His children grow. He wants us all to grow and grow up. And His primary way of growing our faith is through adversity. When He sees us go through it. And when you go through it on your knees, you're praying, you're seeking God, that's when God shows up. You know when the Spirit gets strong in here? When you bring it. You bring it in here. You bring it and you want it. You want all that you can get. But when you bring in the outside, the opposing world, guess what? It clamors up the Spirit. Come on. We need to really realize what it means to praise and worship. And to open up. Susan gave us a word a few weeks ago about that. We've got to rise up to it. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects in Him who is the head, even Christ. Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to what? Work together for the good of what? Everybody? No, those who love God to those who are called according to His purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, you're called according to His purpose. Adversity comes into our lives perhaps for several reasons. Growth. God's love and discipline. A reminder of our sonship with Him to purge evil in our life, a declaration of the true God. For Paul, adversity was ultimately a sign of the presence of Christ in his life, which made his ministry possible. Facing adversity was an essential part of his ministry to proclaim the gospel. In James next week, we're going to talk about, he says, consider it pure joy. Now, that's an odd statement, isn't it? How can you do that? Yes, literally, this means fix it in your mind. Fix this thing in your mind that when you face adversity, you will respond with joy. Where you can say, praise God. God's got something better. Praise God. He kept me from doing this. Praise God. There was a reason here. There was a reason I had that flat tire.
Right.
Maybe I was fixing to get run over at the crossroad.
Right.
When you get that positive mindset, the Bible says taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, you learn how to have victory in any adversity in your life. It will not drag you down. It will build you up. That's what we were talking about. And loosely translated, this means being happy, learning how to laugh, sing, and dance in the Lord. Let's skip some. Decide in your heart that you will not be defeated, disillusioned, crushed, or perplexed. Look at the next scripture. We are pressed on every side, but troubled. Anybody got some troubles? But we're not crushed and broken. How'd you like our song today? I picked that one. That one. How'd it go? Though sorrow may last for a night, I'm pressed but not shaken, right? Persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down, but not. That's where that song comes from. Okay? The precious treasures, guys, I'm closing. Pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We're perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We're hunted down, this translation says. We're hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get back up again and keep going. Through suffering, these bodies are our constantly, these bodies of ours constantly share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. It's not about us, guys. It's about Him and His kingdom. And constantly you're being transformed for a reason.
That's right.
That's for what?
The
glory of God. And what is the glory of God? It's to find the neighbor that needs to know Jesus loves you. It's for finding that one that's lost, that's dying and going to hell. It's for you being the light to shine in the darkness out there in the world. Not in here. This is awesome. This is great. We're to build each other up, the body, okay? And all work together. No backbiting and devouring, tearing down this one or that one, which the church does half the time. But I'm telling you, you want revival? You want to see this place grow? You've got to learn how to go through adversity and count it all joy. You got to learn how to trust the Lord, and you got to learn how to go through these things you're going through. And when you come through them, you come through with a victory, and you grow. You grow up.
That's right.
You mature. You become saints of God that walk in the authority of God.
Right.
Amen? And so you got to understand what adversity means. And so decide in your heart that you'll not be defeated. You're not going to be defeated. You got to get, right? Some of you know what I mean. You've had to battle half your life. You've had to struggle. Let God. Let go and let God help you. Let Him help you. He will. You just got to humble yourself. Swallow your pride. Trust Him. You don't need to fear the future because you know who holds the future in His hands. God. He knows it. He knows your future. He knows every hair on your head and knows you lost. So, He knows your future. He knows. You need to know that God's purpose is to make you the head and not the tail. He wants you to be the frontline warriors, guys, girls. In this house, God is raising up some warriors. Yes, there's some adversities I know some of you go through. We're a close family here. And I know you're going through some stuff. But I'm here to tell you today, if you'll trust God, He'll bring you through every trial in your life. If you'll surrender to God, He's ready to just deliver you from all the evil and the evil one in your life. And He's going to set you up in a place where you will succeed. You will win this battle. And you'll be like Paul. You see, the devil wants that part where Paul says, I've kept the faith. I've been in the battle, I've been fighting. But the main thing is, he told Timothy, keep the faith. If you lose your faith, that's what the devil's after. He ain't after, he don't care if you're an addict. Mm-hmm. He don't care if you're struggling with your finances or this or that. What he cares about is your faith.
That's right.
And if he steals it, he's won. He's won the battle. Because you quit. Once you quit and give up, you say, well, you know, and all it takes is that one thing. Watch what you speak, guys. Girls, watch what comes out of your mouth. You better hear me. I'm prophesying to somebody. You better listen to me this morning. God says, you better watch what comes out of your mouth. If it ain't healthy, if you're speaking against somebody, especially in the body of Christ or anybody, God says, touch not my anointed this morning.
That's right.
And you got to learn, you speak negative stuff, guess what? The devil hears it. And he's going to have a field day with it. He'll plant the seed of that seed that will put doubt. He'll put all these things in your life to try to destroy your faith. You'll be sitting at home like other places, homes that I visit, who know the Lord, been in church, but don't want no part of it. The church has got to rise up. We got to rise up in love, and we got to tell people, listen, I don't got it all figured out. Quit trying to act like you do, okay?
Come on,
I don't, okay? I'm a work in progress, man. I mess up daily. Paul said, I die daily.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what he's talking about. Die to flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to say to ourselves, where do you want to be in 2018? We can't build what God wants to build over here. He can't.
Mm-hmm.
All we got to do is be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. In the words of the Lord and the prophet. Closing. The devil wants you to give up. But the word says in Philippians 14, what? I can. Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, but the one who endures to the end shall be saved. It takes courage to overcome adversity, guys.
Amen.
It takes courage to be a Christian in today in this society.
Yes.
Could you stand up in the face of Islamic death and say, I will not renounce my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And they're standing there with a sword. Their cross is burning like the martyrs had. And the fire's on, they're fixing the woods down there, and they've strapped you on that cross. And guess what? You know what's about to happen. They give you a choice of being burned to death or being eaten by the lion. Will you renounce Christ? It's going to come a time.
Come on.
We're in the end times of this thing, guys, where everything is stacked against Christianity. It's everywhere you go. And it's in our schools. It's in all the society and businesses. You see it.
And
now it's all in the NFL even. It's everywhere. You know, where are we going to go except to the throne of God? If my people who are what? Called by my name, will what? Humble themselves, pray, seek my face, then he's going to heal our land. Not everybody's going to make it, though. Not everybody's going to make it. Who's ready to face adversity and say, Lord, I trust you this morning. Lord, I want you this morning. Let's bow our heads. Let's just say to him right now, whatever it is on your heart, Lord, I need you. I can't do this without you, Lord. If you're here this morning and you need prayer, I'll pray with you. But you can pray right there where you're at. You can make that your altar, that chair. You can drop on your knees, whatever you feel comfortable with this morning. I want you to just know God loves you this morning. He loves you so much that he allowed his son to go through the darkness on the cross so that he might be the light for everyone in this room. Okay? And you got to see that same love, that same capacity. Jesus was the biggest testimony of adversity. He had to carry his own cross up to Calvary. He had to go through everything that Paul went through. But yet he was the leader. He took all of sin, all of humanity upon himself because he loved you so much. And the Lord God, the Father, loved us all so much that he sent his son to do this for you and I. Now, what are we going to do for him this morning? Can you surrender that to him this morning? And say, God, I whatever it is, if you've got sin in your life, repent of it. Place your faith in him. Put your trust in him, your hope. And then confess him. Confess him as your Lord and Savior. Everybody wants a Savior. Ain't many want a Lord. Because the Lord asks stuff of you. He challenges you. Not Pastor Ronnie, not Pastor Penny. The Lord challenges you. It's not that we're just the servants. We're bond servants here. And this morning, I want you to understand and see that God has this plan and purpose. And wherever you're at, remember, everything we have, he's given us. Everything's going to go to the dust one day, back to the earth, back to burning up in rubble. What is the main purpose? Eternal life. And that we take others with us into the kingdom purpose. Heavenly Father, I want you to touch right now anyone that their heart's broken. Touch that one, Lord, that's struggling. Give them strength, Lord, whatever it might be this morning. Fill them with your Holy Spirit that, God, that they can be overcomers. They can walk in the fullness of who you are. Abundant life, God. Satan, you have no authority in this house. You have no authority in any one of these houses that are called to house the power of God for the kingdom purpose. And this morning, you, Lord, your word tells us whatever we bind on earth, we bound in heaven. And Lord, we bind up the strong man, the enemy, that would try to just tear down or destroy. Now, Lord, you said you would loose from heaven. Loose right now that same love you loosed over 2,017 years ago for every man and woman in this room. Let them feel that love. Wrap your arms around them. Let them know that they're forgiven. Let them know that they're wanted and needed for your kingdom.